Father God, we are so grateful that even in the heat, even in the little trials and troubles that we're facing, that you are God and you are good. We're thankful that the Wall family gets to have a little reunion, and I pray that you'll just bless them as they meet together and spend time with one another. Help that to be a true encouragement to the entire family. We're thankful, Lord Jesus, for what's going on in this town with the new coffee shop and the little trains, and I just ask, Lord God, that you'll bring enough workers and volunteers to cover all the different places, enough workers for the barbecue place and for the deli and Cascadia and everywhere else, Lord, that we can see a thriving town that is welcoming to tourists and strangers. I pray that this will be a place that people are drawn to and that they can come here and enjoy your beautiful creation and enjoy you and get to know you through the people of this town. We're asking all these things in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Today's passage is from Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. In the Bible, that's on page 1732. Romans 12:10. Be devoted in love is what the title is, and that's almost the whole verse. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. It's interesting that as Paul is writing this section of Romans, which really looks like this is a kind of a template, a design of how we should act and how we should live with one another, how we should walk the Christian walk instead of just learning about doctrine and learning about things in the Bible, learning about God, we're actually going to live out that life. And so as he gets into this, love keeps coming up again and again and again, and our attitude about ourselves comes up again and again. When we look at last week was love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, and then it jumps in to be devoted to one another in love. You've got sincere love. If love is sincere and you're devoted to one another in love, that's going to be a sincere relationship. You're going to care enough about each other that this last part of the verse, honor one another above yourselves. How do we put others first? I think one of the best examples I've seen in my life is Kathy Small. She did not like camping. And some of Kathy's and her sister's favorite memories growing up were camping trips. Because her mom, even though that wasn't her first choice, it wasn't her desire, she made camping fun. She'd always be prepared with something. She'd have a little Tupperware with a warm cloth or a cold cloth or whatever was necessary. And you know, she would come up with all kinds of fun picnic ideas, and she would do everything she could so that everybody was having a great time. Their dad, Louie, would go out and go fishing, and he teaches the girls all about fishing, so the only way he could really fish was to go out by himself before they were up. So he'd get his morning fishing in, and then he'd come back, and then they'd go fishing together, and he'd really just be helping them fish, kind of how that works with kids. And they all became good fisher people. So they knew what they were doing, and Kathy can catch fish way better than I can. She can shoot better than me, too. So watch out. If you see her looking at him, duck and run. Unless she's not aiming for you. If she's aiming for me, yell loudly so I can duck and run. No, she's able to grow up because both her mom and dad came from broken homes. And they determined when they got married that they were not going to let that continue. They were going to break that cycle. Oh, I got a train behind. So they're going to break that cycle, and they were going to make sure that they were able to stay together. And one way to do that as a family is to have family vacations. And if you're not real wealthy, one good family vacation is going to state capitals. They're free. Going to national parks. They used to be free. You know, going to state parks, going to all these different places where you can just kind of go and as a family, you spend a little money on gas and whatever to get to your destination. But then you could enjoy nature, you could enjoy a lot of things. Yellowstone was one of their go-to places. They spent a lot of years there, not years long, but they went there a lot of years. And they got to experience all kinds of stuff there, from earthquakes and landslides to bears to whatever else, but you know, a lot of fishing and hiking and good memories. And here's her mom, you know, just kind of laying her life down, honoring others above herself. She's like, okay, I'm going to make sure my husband and my kids are having a great time. And she just did that. That was part of who she was. She would do the same thing anytime there were guests coming to the house. You know, if there wasn't enough room somewhere, she'd go sleep on a couch or out in a trailer or something and give her bed up. I mean, this is a lady that was constantly trying to honor others above herself. And I've seen that example. My parents were similar, not quite to that degree, but, you know, I mean, they had 9 kids and 30-some foster kids, and they were constantly laying their life down for others, and they were involved in community, involved in the church, involved in town politics down in Ruston. You know, they were given. And so both Kathy and I come from a heritage of families that care about others, that's part of our lifestyle. And we passed that on to our daughter. Now she's, you know, working as a nurse, and she's caring for others, and you know, when it's time to get a pet dog, you take the rescue dog that's been almost executed because he's aggressive, and you just nurture him, and he becomes calm and peaceful and nice. And, you know, you're honoring others above yourself. That's what we do if we're living the life of Jesus. If we're living with sincere love, love that comes from the Spirit, love that comes from God, it's easy to be devoted to others. Going back to Philippians chapter 2. Well, before I do that, I don't know if it's even in the PowerPoint. I don't think I put it in this one, but go back. If you're on page 1732 in the Pew Bible, Romans 12, go back to verse 3. And Paul says, therefore, by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. This concept of thinking, honoring others above yourself, if we don't think of ourselves too highly, it's easier to honor others.
One of the problems that we have if we're not showing honor to people around us, if we're not putting others above ourselves, is because we're putting ourselves too high. We're thinking too much of ourselves. That comes to when you go into a restaurant, do you go there to be served? I mean, what's our attitude, you know? Are these people that just, you know, come on, want my order, hurry up? Or do you go in there to bless the people that are serving? They're already laying their lives down and putting you above them. For them to go and take your order and go get your food, and somebody's back in the hot kitchen. It's already hot, and now it's even hotter because they've got stuff cooking back there. How many of us don't want to cook when it gets over 100 degrees? I haven't baked cookies for a few weeks here. Well, maybe 2 weeks. But you find ways to serve others when you're even being served. And part of that is, are you going to honor that waiter or waitress with an appropriate tip? Just throwing that out there. Do we think, you know, they're getting paid. They're already having a salary. We don't need help with that. Or do we think, you know, God's blessed us, and how can I bless someone else? And so you treat them kindly. You give them respect, and part of respect is you help. Just as God has blessed you, bless others. And I think that's kind of important. When we're wherever we are, there's people that are trying to serve us. I know when you go to a store, sometimes people don't really want to be behind the register or walking around trying to help customers. And sometimes customers aren't very nice. Customer service is a tough line to be in. Have you ever walked up to somebody in the store that works there and they're in a bad mood? How do you serve them? How do you place them above yourself? How do you honor somebody else above yourself? Try to find a way to make their life easier. Don't try to make it harder. They probably want to help you, or they wouldn't be in that position. Okay, people most of the time don't wake up thinking, I think I want to be grumpy and be rude to customers. But if they've had kind of a rough time already, and whatever's going on in their life or in their business or in their daily routine, it's not working well for them that day, how can we help it work better? How can we treat somebody with respect? Be devoted to one another in love. Do you love the people that are serving you? Do you love those that you come in contact with? Because if we don't, we're not demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ. We're not having that sincere love. So, now we can go to Philippians 2. And find the pew Bible number for that. Large print, green pew Bibles, Philippians 2, and starting with verse 3, you'll find that on page 1792. 1792. Here again, Paul writes Romans, but he also writes Philippians, a lot of the other letters in the New Testament. He's giving some of the same advice. He expounds on it a little bit more here. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Okay, it's a different way of saying, you know, honor other people above yourself. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Now, even things that look like we're doing it for other people, sometimes we're doing that so people will think more highly of us. So God knows our heart, He knows our attitudes, He knows our motivations, and sometimes the best of actions are done with the wrong motives. And so sincere love is that love that's just doing it because it's, you know, you love people, you care about them. So selfish ambition, are you treating somebody really well because you know that they can help you with something later? Are you treating somebody really well because you know that other people are watching and they're going to think more highly of you? Or are you just treating people well because it's the right thing to do? And then doing nothing out of vain conceit. It should be self-explanatory. I mean, we go through life, and if we're thinking too highly of ourselves, if we're thinking we're better than we really are, we can be going around looking down our noses at other people and just assuming that, you know, I know what's right, and I sure hope they can get their act together sometime. You know, we kind of can go around life like that, and you get a critical spirit. But if we know who we are and we know who God is, it's kind of okay. There's a big difference. I shouldn't go around thinking that I'm like God. I should go around realizing that without God, I can't do anything, but with God, I can do all things. And so it's not vain conceit to realize that you can actually help other people through the strength of God. But if you go around thinking that, you know, boy, their life is messed up, and I think I better step in and help them, and I think I better teach them what to do. And we've all had those people in our lives that have got more than just a little bit of advice. They're willing to tell you every little step, what you need to do and what you're doing wrong. In Minnesota, the saying was, if a guy, so you go up and you see somebody doing something and it's not quite right. Well, if a guy would take that wrench and just turn it a little bit to the left, you know, he might be able to get that bolt off of there. And they didn't even see the bolt yet. So, you know, you're so much better than them, and you can look down on them and realize that, like, instead of realizing, you know, I learned a lot of this stuff from somebody teaching me, or God's given me some wisdom and some ability to look at machines and recognize what works and not works and why it works. And, you know, some people are naturally gifted. And what does that mean? Well, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of God. So if you're naturally gifted, where did that natural gift come from? Not on me, it's like from God. It's like, okay, well, I can humbly go into a situation and take my natural gift, whatever it is, and help whoever needs the help without thinking that I'm better than them. Because they're probably naturally gifted in something that I'm going to need later. And so that's where we're putting one another above ourselves, that each one of us recognizes that we can learn from others. I love Mr. Rogers for that. Mr. Rogers would walk around and he tells a story about one time a little 4-year-old boy was asking him, he says, is there watermelon ice cream? he'd never thought of that himself. You know, Mr. Rogers thought about a lot of stuff, but he never thought about, is there watermelon ice cream? And this little guy recognized that there was orange ice cream, and maybe there could be others. There's strawberry. What other fruits could there be? And so he's just kind of thinking in his mind, yeah, watermelon's one of his fun fruits he learned about as a four-year-old. Maybe there's watermelon ice cream. I like watermelon. I like ice cream. This could be good. And people like that become vain dairies and create, you know, pretty cool companies. So whatever your gifting is, if we're not doing things out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, we're going to be able to do it as service unto others. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. When you're having a conversation, does it gear around your day, your life, your interests? Or are you listening intently, actively engaged in conversation, asking people, you know, when you find out something? It's like Ashley, you know, has a lot of skills, right? So when we're around Ashley, we're going to talk to her just about, you know, our life and our day. Or are we going to learn from her about horses, about EMP stuff, about whatever else, and about how to get along with a crazy family that comes from 16 different directions all at once, and every one of them has expectations, and then you put them all together for the big family reunion. That could be fun, or it could be stressful, or it could be both. And it can kind of be both all at the same time. And so we can learn from one another on how we interact with family, how we interact with strangers, how we interact with ourselves. Sometimes people can't even get along with themselves. Raise your hand if that's ever been. It's like, you know, looking to your own interest, not looking to your own interest. It's kind of the key to that, not fun. Most of the time, we get into a conversation and we want to share what we want to share. And I've had conversations with people that I know that, you know, we've been together, hanging out together for years. They don't know anything about me. And they're not interested, so I'm not going to share it with them. Why do I care? I mean, it's like, do they care about what my interests are? Probably not. But I can learn about their interests. If the only thing they're interested in is in themselves, it's going to be hard to have a relationship with that person. How do we do that as Christians? Because we bump into those people. You know that part of caring about somebody that's that self-centered is helping them know it in love. And we sincerely tell them in love that there's other people besides them in the world. Without being rude to them, without trying to hurt their feelings, love them enough that they can see others around them. Love them enough that they can recognize that they will be enriched even more if they were to learn to listen, if they were to learn to let others share. Just a thought. If your relationships with one another have the same, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, that gets a little bit difficult. Because, you know, Paul was, up until this point, he's like, okay, yeah, don't be too conceited, be humble, love each other. Now he's saying, love each other like Jesus. Have the same attitude, the same mindset as Jesus. Well, in case you didn't know that, there's a colon here, and that means he's going to tell us what that mindset is. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not, I put that in the wrong place. That's the one I wanted to read to you earlier, Romans 12:3. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith of God as distributed to each. I need to move that slide, but let's get back to Philippians 2. This is what comes after that quote. Who, Jesus, who being in very nature God. Okay, Jesus is God. Get that wrapped around your head. He did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Now, let's solve this pause there. If you were God, you're all powerful. You can do whatever you want. You're God. How many of us would say, I think I'll become a human and die on a cross? don't think that would have crossed my mind with my own mindset. I have to have the mindset of God. I have to have the mindset of Christ. I think my mindset would be, look at, I don't like you, and there's 10,000 angels that are ready to come down here and fight my battles for me. I think I'll call them. Thank you very much. In fact, when Jesus is walking around with his disciples who have been with him for a few years, and somebody disrespects Jesus, a couple of his holy disciples said, hey, should we call down fire from heaven? That's kind of where our mindset is sometimes, isn't it? It's like, we don't have to take this. I don't have to put up with this. And I'm talking to myself here. It's like, you ever been on a sales call, or you're talking to your banker, or you're talking to somebody that you know should know better. They're supposed to be serving you. They haven't quite gotten that through their thick skull. And so we're going to correct them on the telephone. Sometimes the neighbors can hear me probably trying to correct somebody on the telephone that should know better and should be serving me better. It's like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to have the same mindset as Jesus. Whoops. So he's God. He didn't decide that that should be done to his advantage. He took this godliness, this holiness, this righteousness, this all-powerfulness, and he says, I think I'm going to become a servant. In fact, I'm going to become a human likeness. He made himself nothing. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And we're supposed to have that mindset. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of days I fail on that one. That's a hard thing. But if we look at Romans 12, this is a passage. We can live by Romans 12. If we just learn what's in Romans 12 and understand it, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Have the same mindset as Jesus. Love people the way Jesus loved us. Thank you, Jesus, for your example to us, your perfect example, your consistent love that you've continued even by sending Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us and to comfort us and to teach us all things that we need to know. Help us to be devoted truly, sincerely to loving one another, to honoring others above ourselves. Amen.